Milo's Pro Rewards members. Go big during Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Buy more and save more with up to 20% off job site essentials like primed finger joint boards when you spend $3,000 or more. Plus, get up to 25% off PVC DWV pipes when you spend $250 or more. Shop Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 123. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
It's the dictionary.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. Hey, everybody. I am recording this on May 31st at 7:02 a.m. Happy Friday to me. This has been a very strange week for me. Weird work schedule and everything. If you're paying attention to the dates that I'm recording this on, I haven't recorded at all this week. This is the first day this week that I'm recording. Luckily, I'm far enough ahead, and I only have a handful of episodes left to record, so I'm not too worried about, you know, that, but it's my brain is like in all lots and lots of directions right now. Hey. How is everybody doing? I hope you are well. I hope you are enjoying this podcast. It's also a YouTube show. I hope that you are sharing this show. That is the most important thing. Don't even listen. Just share it out into the world. Let's see. What was the other thing I was going to say? I don't remember, so let's talk about the words. The first word in this episode is extremity. E-X-T-R-E-M-I-T-Y. Extremity. Noun from the 14th century. 1A is the farthest or most remote part, section, or point. As in the island's westernmost extremity. Now I am imagining an island with arms and legs. And they're like, oh, that part there with the fingers, that's the island's westernmost extremity. 1B is a limb of the body. See, that's where the arms and the legs come in. They're the limbs. But especially a human hand or foot. I mean, I guess I thought that like the arms and the legs would be also the extremities, but the hands and the feet, I'm not going to show you my feet, those would also be the extremities. Those are more likely because they are the furthest out, the furthest thing out from the arms and the legs. The fingers and the toes, I guess, would be more like extremities than just the hands and the feet. There are people who don't have extremities. I guess, you know, if you don't have any arms or legs, your extremities would be like your shoulder or your hip, if you still have a hip, I guess. I don't know. 2A is extreme danger or critical need. How do you use this in a sentence? Extremity. Oh, we have extreme danger. We are stuck up on a mountain and we need some help. We are stuck in the cart, the chair lift that takes you up the mountain. We are stuck on there. So we have extremity because we have extreme danger or we have a critical needs. We need to be let down from this chair lift in the frozen area. To be a moment marked by imminent destruction or death. A moment. Ooh. The moment that is marked by imminent destruction or death. That is the extremity. Oh no, the building's going to get knocked down. That is the extremity. That is the final destruction of the building. 3A. An intense degree, as in the extremity of his participation. The extremity of his participation. That is a quote from Saturday Rev, which I assume is the Saturday Review, maybe? The Saturday Reverend? Saturday Reverence? What other words start with Rev? Saturday Reverse. hope that's the name of it. The extremity of his participation. So if we switch it with the definition, the intense degree of his participation, he was such an extreme participant. He went so hardcore when he participated in that sports program. He had extremity of participating. 3B. The utmost degree. And this is about emotion or pain. Emotion or pain. You're feeling the emotions or the pain to the utmost degree. So that's extremity. I have extremities of emotions and pain. Okay. 4. A drastic or desperate act or measure, as in driven to extremities. You are driven to drastic or desperate measures, a desperate act or measure. A drastic measure or a desperate act? A drastic or desperate act or measure. So it's three things, three possible things. Driven to extremities. Oh, that mouse was cornered in a corner by the cat, and so the mouse had to go to, he was forced, driven to extremities, and so the mouse pulled out all of his weapons, guns and shotguns and ping pong paddles and all those sorts of things. Those were his extremities, because he was cornered in a corner. Okay, that's enough about extremity. What sound effect are we going to make today? We're going to go boo! The next word is extremophile. Extremophile. File is P-H-I-L-E. Yes, we're recording good. I always got to check. Extremophile is a noun from 1989. That's when we got this word. This is an organism that lives under extreme environmental conditions. Like, where might they be living? In a hot spring or ice cap. The very hot places or the very cold places. That is where the extremophiles like to live. And I'm going to look up examples of extremophiles. I've heard about these. They, for whatever reason, biologically, they can, like, hang out in the very hot areas. Those what are they called? The in underwater, those shoots of hot spring. They're not hot springs, but they're some of these are very scientific-y names. Thermophiles, psychrophiles, acidophiles, alkaliphiles, halophiles, hyperthermophiles. I want better names. I want other names of these. Oh, these water bears. What are they really called? I can't think of what they're really called, but they are extremophiles because they can live in space. Space. It's cold out there. Let's see. High temperature, low temperature, alkaline systems. These are examples of where they can live. Systems like lakes that are very alkaline, very acidic places, you know, places that we can't live. We can't live in high temperature, low temperature, blah, blah, blah. Lots of radiation, high pressure, you know, way deep down in the water, super high pressure. Some of these animals can live down there deep. They can deal with the pressure. I can't deal with the pressure. I need to let go of the pressure. Salinity, high salinity, that's salt. They can live in areas with high salt content. Desiccation. So this is dry, very dry areas. And the last one on this list of places that they can live is deep crust. And that just makes me think of a pizza. So there's extremophiles who love pizza. No, what is this? Accessed in some gold mines. So I guess it's just really deep. But what's the thing? What's the... I don't know. Oh, lots of example, lots of stuff. Let's put this link in the show notes for extremophiles so you can learn about them. Oh, they are fancy and fascinating. Wow! Was that my sound? I don't know. Sure, why not? The next word is extremum. Extremum. E-X-T-R-E-M-U-M. M-U-M. Extremum. That's it. It is a noun from 1904, and this is a maximum or a minimum of a mathematical function, and it is called also extreme value, but I much prefer extremum. It's a very silly word. It's the neutral of extremis or extremus, which is Latin, right? Where did it go? Yes, it's the Latin neutral of extremus. Extremum. So we have the maximum and the minimum. The maximum and the minimum, and you have the extremum, because it's on the extreme sides, the high, the low. Okay, didn't know about you, extremum. That's a fun word to say. Woo! The next word is extricate. Extricate. This is a transitive verb from 1601. Number one, A, is archaic. The synonym is unravel. Ooh, I'm extricating because I'm unraveling. 1B, to distinguish from a related thing. To distinguish. So these things are related. Maybe they're cousins, but you are distinguishing them from, they're separate from each other. You're showing the differences, how they're related, but how they're different. Extricating. I've never used it that way. 2 is to free or remove from an entanglement or difficulty. Oh, are you in a difficult situation? Here, let me unravel you from that situation. Let me unentangle you. You are tied up. Let me untie you. Boop, 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 boop. And you are set free now. Extricate. Extricating hostages. That seems like a pretty common usage for this word. They would definitely be entangled in a difficult situation. Extricable. That is an adjective. You can also pronounce it extricable. Emphasize the first syllable. Extrication is a noun. We got to do an extrication to extricate the people who are in a tight spot. We're in a tight spot. This is Latin from the verb extricare, which is from the ex prefix plus, now it says trichae, which means trifles or perplexities. We are in a perplexing situation, so we need to be extricated from this perplexing situation. We've got synonym information. So, extricate, disentangle, untangle, disencumber, and disembarrass mean to free from what binds or holds back. There's something that has bound me to my seat. It's stopping me. It's keeping me back. Hold me back, but then I become free. All of those mean free, basically. So, extricate implies the use of care or ingenuity in freeing from a difficult situation, a difficult position or situation, as in, extricated himself from financial difficulties. He used his smarts to get himself out of these financial difficulties. Disentangle and untangle suggest painstaking separation of a thing from other things, as in disentangling fact from fiction. How do we do that? We got to figure out what's the facts, what's the fiction. People have a different sense of what facts and fiction are. It's hard to separate these things out, I guess. From one thing from other things. One thing from other things. So the example, there's another example. Untangle a web of deceit. Untangle a web of deceit. We've all of our red pieces of yarn and pictures are all tangled up. We have to untangle them. Disencumber implies a release from something that clogs or weighs down, as in an article disencumbered of jargon. All the jargon, it's clogging it down. It's clogging, it's weighing it down. It's making it confusing for people to understand what the thing is trying to say. So you take out the jargon, you have disencumbered it. Oh, now I understand. I cumber this article. It's an article. Disembarrass suggests a release from something that impedes or hinders, as in disembarrassed herself of her advisors. Disembarrassed herself of her advisors. Her advisors were impeding her or hindering her, and that's not what advisors are supposed to do. That's the opposite of what they're supposed to do. So yeah, that's good that she disencumbered herself, disembarrassed herself from her advisors. They shouldn't be hindering you in any way. They're your advisors. All right, that's it for extricate. Whoop. Next, we have extrinsic. Extrinsic. There's also the opposite word, intrinsic. So you can think about that one up here in your brainy spots when we're talking about extrinsic. Adjective from 1613, 1A, not forming part of or belonging to a thing. So it's not forming part of a thing or not belonging to a thing. I think that's what it's saying. The synonym is extraneous. Extraneous. It's like outside of this thing. I think this podcast is extrinsic to the podcast world and just everything that people want. 1B is originating from or on the outside. Originating from the outside or on the outside, but especially originating outside a part and acting upon the part as a whole, as in extrinsic muscles of the tongue. Okay, so these muscles, they originate outside the part, but they act on it as a whole. So what are the... I gotta look it up. Extrinsic tongue muscles? This is going to provide some interesting pictures, maybe. Let's see. There are four pairs of extrinsic muscles, which include the genioglossus, hyoglossus, styloglossus, and palatoglossus. Can you tell that my glasses are dirty? I don't know. Maybe not. They produce those movements of the tongue which the intrinsic muscles can't, which are protrusion, retraction, retrusion, depression, and elevation of the tongue. So all of those types of movements, elevation, protrusion, retraction, depression, that is what, all of those movements are what the extrinsic muscles do. And there's a picture, and we got to look at this picture. So... what are we looking at? Is that the ear? Is that the, what the, this is the styoid process of temporal bone. I don't know where exactly. I think these are inside the jaw. Yeah, because there's the teeth in the front. Yep, that's the tongue there on top. And so, yeah, these are all the ones that are kind of like on the side, inside here. They're all on the side mostly, and maybe in the back a little bit too, and underneath, I guess. So, these are literally the muscles on the outside of the tongue. The tongue is a muscle, so the intrinsic tongue muscles, I think, are literally the muscles that like make up the tongue that you think of, the inside of the tongue. And then the extrinsic ones are the ones that make the tongue do all those motions to move it around. I guess, I don't know. Yeah. What would happen if you didn't have these muscles? What would your tongue be able to do? Not that much. All right, well, we're learning about lots of muscles here on this podcast. Number two for extrinsic, the synonym is just external, right? It's all about it's on the outside of a thing. Extrinsically is an adverb. Extrinsically. My tongue muscles are working extrinsically. You need to use those muscles when you go to the dentist. They are like, move your tongue out of the way so I can work on your teeth. This word is from French, extrinsique, from the lower Latin extrinsecus, which is, another also from Latin, which means from without. I think that's what it means, from without. It is akin to the Latin exter, which means outward and to. Outward and to. Exter means outward and to. Not sure how you use that. Also from the Latin sequi, which means to follow. And there's more at the words exterior and sue. Like, I want your money, I'm suing you. Okay, hey, what? We have another set of synonyms. Have we ever had two synonym sections in one episode? So, extrinsic, extraneous, foreign, and alien mean external to a thing, its essential nature, or its original character. External to the thing, external to its nature, its essential nature, and also external to its original character. What's its original character? This is external to that. Extrinsic applies to what is distinctly outside the thing in question or is not contained in or derived from its essential nature, as in sentimental value that is extrinsic to the house's market value. Ooh, I feel like I need to sit with this one for a second. Ah, okay. So the house has a value, has a certain value based on the market, how much the other houses sold in the area. We call them the comps. But there is a certain sentimental value that you cannot put a price on it. So this is extrinsic to the actual money value of the house. My parents' house has a lot of extrinsic sentimental value. Well, it's just sentimental value because it's extrinsic from the financial value, because they have been living there for 45 years almost. Yeah, almost 45 years. And this is the only house that I have lived in a few different places, but this is my childhood house. The sentimental value that I hold to this house is very, very high. It's outside of this screen. It's so high. So that value is extrinsic. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, now we got to get back to the synonyms. I think the next one is extraneous. Extraneous applies to what is on or comes from the outside and may or may not be capable of becoming an essential part. As in, arguments extraneous to the issue. This is unimportant, right? That's what it is. Applies to what is it or comes from the outside or may not be capable of becoming an essential part. Right. These are tangents. Unimportant things. Okay, I see, like, maybe there's sort of a connection to the argument that we're having. These are extrinsic things that you're saying, or extraneous, but they're not really part of the important part of our argument. We're arguing about this thing. You're talking about this thing. They're separate. Okay. Foreign applies to what is so different as to be rejected or repelled or to be incapable of becoming assimilated, as in techniques foreign to French cuisine. techniques foreign to French cuisine because they are so different. They were like, no, when we're making the French cuisine, we're doing these types of things. We're making these types of meals. We're using these techniques. You can't bring in grilled cheese into French cuisine. You got to make a whole new thing. You got to do a whole different process to grilled cheese to make it French cuisine. I don't know if the French eat grilled cheese. They would make grilled camembert or something like that, and they would do it in a much different way than how I make it. We're watching Northern Exposure, and it seems like every single person, almost every single person in that show, is like high class in some way. And they know all of these like fancy meals to make, and they know wine, and they know really like high level thought concepts. And we just watched an episode last night where there's a wedding happening, and their meal all sounded very fancy French cuisine. And then they, you know, they're talking to the guy who runs the local restaurant and bar. And he's like, yeah, I can make those. I'm like, how do you know how to make those things? How do you know? You're going to use... He used foreign techniques on that cuisine. Okay, the last synonym, alien, is stronger than foreign in suggesting opposition, repugnance, and irreconcilability, as in a practice totally alien to her nature. She doesn't know how to do it. It's in opposition to what her nature is. She wants to go do A. This is telling her to go do B. Oh, that's alien to me. Well, it's good sometimes. This is how you grow. This is how you change, how you evolve. You do things that are different than what your nature is. It's a good thing. When more people need to be doing things alien and foreign to their nature, you're just going to grow as a person. That's all. Just that. Whew! Sorry, this will be a little bit of a long episode. Next, we have extrinsic factor. Noun from 1938. The synonym, it's just vitamin B12. Extrinsic factor is vitamin B12? Everybody needs your extrinsic factor. I need to take some extrinsic factor vitamin when I get home tonight. I am very confused by this. Next is the prefix extro, E-X-T-R-O. It means outward, as in the example, extrovert. You can compare it to intro, which would be inward, which you can compare to the example, introvert. And we're going to talk about that a little bit at the end of this episode, but also in the beginning of the next episode. I believe this is July 4th. Happy July 4th to you people, if you celebrate. Is this July 4th? Is that on the weekend? Let's do a quick little check to the calendar. Clicky, clicky. Oh, yes, it's a Thursday. Okay, good. All right. So that's the extro prefix. Now let's talk about some extra words. We got a few of them. Literally, just a few. Ooh! Next is extrorse. Extrorse. Wow, okay. E-X-T-R-O-R-S-E, extrorse. Adjective from 1858. This means facing outward, as in an extrorse anther. And I don't remember what an anther is. It's not antler. Anther? Is that this word? Anther. What's an anther? It is the part of a stamen that contains the pollen. Oh, okay. And so some of those are facing outward. Woo! Outward. Let's see. Can we think of any other examples of something that would be extrorse? Extrorse? Is that how you're supposed to say this word? Or it's extrarse. Maybe it's extrarse. Boy, I don't like saying this word. This is from, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. Latin means outward, the Latin extra plus orsus, like introrsus. And then, of course, there is the word. There's more at the word introrse, introrse or intrarse. So that would be facing inward. What's facing outward? I guess my ears, but it's like, I think it's distinguished from some things, some versions of this thing face inward and some of them face outward. Seats on a train, those, I don't know if you can consider those. What faces outward but can also face inward? Nah, I can't think of anything. Woo! Okay, I think we're on our last word. It's extroversion. 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 And you can also spell it extra. Extraversion. Like extra, extra. Read all about this extroversion. This is a noun from 1915. And it is. See, now the next word, the first word in the next episode is extrovert. And so it helps, you know, if you know what that means, most of you probably do, then you will help you to understand extroversion. But let's just do it. Extroversion is the act, state, or habit of being predominantly concerned with and obtaining gratification from what is outside the self. That is not exactly what I would have expected this to say. That is an interesting way to put that. You are concerned with what is outside yourself. Predominantly concerned with and obtaining gratification. You attain gratification. So when you are an introvert, you obtain gratification from being with yourself, with your thoughts, doing your own thing. But somebody who is extroverted, who is an extrovert, they use extroversion. They get gratification from other people. Give me your energy. I will take it and I will get gratification from it. Okay, so the etymology says that this is from, I guess it's the German extroversion, but they don't say it like that. They don't say extroversion. From the Latin extra plus versus, which is from the verb vertere, which means to turn. So you're turning outward. You're turning your attention outward. Your attention is extrarse, because it's facing outward. You're like, oh, what is out there? Give me what's out there. That's what's interesting to me. All that stuff that's out there. Is there more? There's more at the word worth. Worth. Ooh, so is it like the stuff that's outside of you is worth a lot to you? That's where you're, where the value comes in. That's valuable to you. And then the opposite, introversion, introvert, is yourself is what gives you worth and value, and it's valuable to you. It's an interesting thing. I straddle both, you know. I'm an ambivert. I think I talked about that way back in the A's. Ambivert. Sometimes I love talking to people and or being in front of people or whatever. And then sometimes, most of the time, I am an introvert and I just like to do my own thing, which is why I'm just recording this by myself in a room all by myself. All alone. I'm all alone. Or, you know, just doing my work at my home. Okay. Now we have to pick a word of the episode. Today we had extremity, extremophile, extremum, extricate, extrinsic factor, extro, extrarse, and extroversion. Let's pick extremophile as the word of the episode. I am an extremophile. I like to live in high temperatures. This is a stupid song. This is a bad temperature. I am an extremophile. I like high temperatures or low temperatures. Oh my God, this is so stupid. Okay, whatever, you get the picture. Extremophiles. They like areas that are extreme. Okay, whatever. Let's stop that. And now let's quickly talk about another movie that I watched, which is Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Sharon had never seen this movie, so we watched it, and I hadn't seen it for a lot of years. Music is great. I listened to the soundtrack a lot back in the day. music is so good. And I don't know all of the references to the Odyssey. I mean, it straight up tells you right there in the intro credits, it's based on the Odyssey. I know a few of the examples, few of the references, but I don't know the Odyssey well enough. You know, it's been 30 years since I read that book. And so there's a lot. It's pretty packed, pretty densely packed with stuff. And so I'm sure there's a ton of references. I'm sure that somebody has written an essay or done a vlog about that or something. But yeah, it's a good, fun movie. And I think it was maybe the first movie to use like digital color correction. I remember seeing they made all the greenery look very like yellow and dry and dead. So yeah, that was one of the early examples of digital color correction, if not the first. They were like, oh my God, we could do all this cool stuff digitally. Amazing. It's a good movie, and it's fun and silly. And what else do I got to say about it? Great music. Great music. We're in a tight spot. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.